This is Indy's Giant 90.9, WBDG FM HD1, Indianapolis.
Another episode of Hash Marks and Hardwood. We're joined by head coach of the Giants baseball team, Coach Davis. Please welcome James Boyd. Joined by WBDG alum Jackson White. Joining us as a guest on today's episode, please welcome assistant coach of the Ben Davis boys basketball team, Coach Persing. Max Crosby gets shipped off to the Baltimore Ravens for 2 first-round picks, but then we hear a couple of days ago that this trade is actually being resigned and that Max Crosby is actually heading back to the Raiders. Now we move on to the historic Tuesday night in the National Basketball Association, and Bam Adebayo dropping an historic second-highest ever 83 points in NBA history. Welcome back to another episode of Hash Marks and Hardwood on this, well, for us, Nicholas, Wednesday morning, but Friday morning as the people are hearing it. I'm Bryson Hill alongside Nicholas Mountcastle as always. Nicholas, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. You know, finally don't have work in the first couple of days.
Very true. With that being said, today's episode I'm very excited about because it is a hot takes episode. I've been reaching all out across the state to different media personality, different coaches, different players for their hot takes. And with us today to help with these hot takes is quote-unquote WBDG alum and the man who helped with all pretty much all the basketball games this year, Tyler Stout. Welcome to Hash Marks and Hardwood on the phone line. Thank you for joining us, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Good morning to all here from Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're on spring break, right, Ty?
Yes, it's been a very great week so far.
I saw that big bear on your story.
Yeah, believe it or not, it actually came up to us while we were in the hot tub. Like, it came up the steps, so we had to scare it away because it was a black bear. So, yeah, you can scare those ones away. But other than that, it was just funny trying to see this bear get up on our Blackstone.
So, obviously, we haven't you haven't been on the WBDG airways since the last game against Brownsburg for BD. What have you been up to, man? How's life?
So MLB The Show recently dropped. So that's where I've been spending most of my hours. Other than that, it's just been focusing on life after high school. So yeah. I went on a couple of visits to IU since the last game and then just really trying to figure anything out in the future.
Awesome. Yeah, I saw you saw you doing a couple of that stuff. I know you mentioned to me you had that IU media thing, so that's awesome. I'll be at Indiana State this Friday. That's the reason we're pre-recording this whole thing for a little meetup there. Besides that, though, let's get into the main reason we're doing this show, the hot takes. And Tyler, Nicholas, the first one comes from the big man in the studio, the big man as in runs everything, Mr. Easter. He says that teams should only wear one set of uniforms. So no home, no designated away, no alternates. I guess you think this NBA-wise, no cities for NFL, no throwbacks, just one set of jerseys. Tyler, what do you think of that?
Like just one jersey.
Just one jersey. So the Bulls, they just wear their classic red for the whole year.
I mean, I get where he's coming from, that like all of these, because like some teams now, like they have 7 jerseys to choose from, which I think is excessive. But I think 3 should be like the maximum. 3 is good. You have your, I guess NBA terms, icon, association, and alternate jersey. So like 3 is the max. I get where Mr. Easter's coming from for just one, but I think 3 should be the maximum.
Yeah, I agree with you there as well. Three, you got to have, in my opinion, a home and away. And then, like you said, have an alternate, have one you can spice in there. Nicholas, what do you think of that hot take?
Yeah, I definitely would agree with all that, too. I mean, got to throw some different colors in there every now and then.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting, too, and I think it gives variety to a buyer as well. If you want to, and like I was saying, it gives a bit of expansion as a buyer. You're able to buy these different types of jerseys as well. You're not forced to buy one jersey. If you want to buy an alternate jersey that you think is really nice, then that gives you the ability to do that as a fan. The next one up is on my notes list from you, actually, Mr. Stout. And let's talk about this, because I know you're very, very behind this take, and some people that don't agree to this take. Why do you think this is? You say the NHL playoffs are the best.
I said it's because it's the hardest trophy to win, in my opinion, all sports. I mean, you have to win 16 games, and the most grueling, it takes the biggest toll on your body. And most of these guys, they fight through whatever it takes to get to this one cup. I mean, there's a superstition that you can't touch the cup until you win it. So, I mean, that just goes to show how much aura, I used to say, this cup has once you win it. I might just say that because you don't see NBA players doing that. I mean, most of the NBA guys, you see them sitting out for half the season and then coming back for playoffs. Granted, sometimes it's for an actual injury, but also some of the times it's because they want to rest. NHL players, you don't ever see them resting. It's full 82 season games trying to get to a spot in the playoffs, and then you got to win 16 games to get to the glory of being a Stanley Cup champion. I mean, NFL, it's great. It's really great for trying to get viewers. MLB, the atmosphere at an MLB is great. Don't get me wrong. That's kind of what NHL is, the atmosphere. But like most people, if you ask them, they're going to say, yeah, baseball is boring. Hockey, it can be boring at times. I get that from being an outsider or from being inside outside, like sitting on the outside in. Hockey can be boring at sometimes. But like I'm telling you right now, if you watch a Winnipeg Jets playoff game at Winnipeg, wide out, I'm telling you right now, greatest thing ever. I mean, last year, game 7, down 2-1, St. Louis, 10 seconds left. They're in St. Louis's offense or defensive zone. So Jets are on the offensive side of the puck, I guess you could say, and they get an overtime clinching goal with 1.7 seconds left, and Winnipeg just erupted and then went on to double overtime. Winnipeg ended up winning. I mean, it's just the atmospheres and how long these guys are willing to fight. Like, it's the last second. I mean, you hear buzzer beaters in basketball, but like, that's a chance. Hockey, you got to fight until the buzzer really sounds.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I agree with you. I think hockey's very entertaining, especially the playoffs. I think everyone got a pretty good taste of that during the Four Nations tournament and stuff. I think maybe the one thing that the NHL playoffs or the Stanley Finals, the Stanley Cup lacks is more so the media attention that gets towards it. I mean, obviously, stuff like the Super Bowl has all the media towards it. Even the NBA Finals, like this past year, I get it was different storylines because two different teams in OKC and Indiana, but a lot of media was on the NBA Finals. So I feel like if there's one thing that the Stanley Cup and the playoffs are kind of missing, is just the big media surrounding it.
Absolutely. And I mean, I've been saying that ever since I really got into hockey, is that why is hockey the most underlooked sport in the professional sports aspect? And it has to do because hockey, when people hear of hockey, they're like, okay, Canadian sport. But really, the USA is really taking a turn on whose sport it actually is. I mean, we defeated Canada in the Olympics. We lost them in the Four Nations, but we beat them when it counted. The last time a Canadian team has won the Stanley Cup has been decades ago. It just goes, like, popularity, that's a big thing in America. I get, like, why basketball and the NFL, like, why their media is so big. But the NHL, people started looking at them after the Olympics, and it grew. It's exponentially. Like, NHL got onto its hot streak but now it's starting to decline. So I'm not big of a marketing guy, but whatever NHL has to do to get out there, like you said, Bryson, it has to be the media side of the thing, because the sport's great. Sport is really great. It's just the media is not like the NFL aspect of media.
Yeah, not at all. But I honestly kind of agree with your hot take, Tyler. I'm not going to lie. We'll switch gears here to one I think you'll really like and one we could probably talk about for the next couple of minutes here. Paige Jones of the Lady Giants basketball team has two hot takes. Her first one being Victor Wembanyama is currently the best player in the NBA.
I don't think she's wrong in that. I mean, I literally think he is. Just the things that he's doing is something that we've never seen an NBA player do, or we've never seen a guy who's 7'4" walking on an NBA court. Like, just the things he's able to do at 7'4" is insane. I saw a clip of him the other day playing the Pacers, and like, he literally controlled the paint. And then, like, he didn't camp in the paint, he controlled the paint. He was running around the paint, guarding three different guys who were trying to get into the paint. And remember, you see a 6'2" guard running toward Wembanyama, they're not going to take up a shot on him. Instead, they're going to pass it out and retreat because they know their shot's getting blocked. This is why this guy averages over 2 blocks a game. He's a monster in the paint.
Yeah, it's not very often you see a guy who can get the same amount of blocks as he can threes in a game. Like, that's ridiculous. And I think another part to that as well, Victor Wembanyama, he's still a very young player. He's bulked up a little bit. When you compare him to the best in the NBA right now, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Nikola Jokic, Wemby, I think, is not going to just be miles ahead of them, but he's going to torture this league. Because like you said, the presence he just gets defensively alone, he doesn't even have to block a shot. But like you said, if you see Wemby in the paint, that's making all these guards retreat out to try to get a better shot or whatever the case be. Paige Jones, first hot take. I don't say that's too bad, you know.
You know, I love that take from Paige Jones.
Her second one being, and you'll really like this one, Caleb Williams will finish his career with at least 2 rings.
I can't argue this one. I mean, I like that one a lot. Maybe he'll probably get 3, to be honest with you, but
For those of you who don't know, Tyler is a big Illinois sports fan, so.
That was a great take from Paige Jones. I like that one a lot.
Obviously, we know your guys' success last year. I don't think this is a terrible take at all, man. And I think if there's a person to bring Chicago a ring within the next X amount of years, it's definitely Caleb Williams. The guy is very good. I know people don't like to give him his credit, but I think Caleb Williams is a very good player. Now, don't get me wrong. 2 rings is a tad steep. You're talking about 2 Super Bowls. Not a lot of people win a lot of Super Bowls, but the Chicago Bears, they're building a pretty good roster around Caleb Williams. You guys obviously traded away DJ Moore this offseason. What are kind of your predictions for the next couple of years for the Bears, Ty?
So obviously it's a race against time, because the only thing that's holding the Bears back right now is timeline. I mean, if you go on to these different social media platforms, they'll say like the Bears offense is lethal and they're young. Well, yeah, they're right. They are young and lethal. But that also means here in a few years, we're about to pay them a big amount of money, especially number 1 overall pick, Caleb Williams. He's going to get a huge payday. Number 9 overall pick, Roman Dunze. He's a top 10 pick. He's going to have to get paid. Granted, he's not really living up to that top 9 pick hype. He's got to like earn his contract. But the Bears, the only thing against him right now is the timeline. They have 3 years to really win a ring. 2 is a little unlikely on that timeline. But after, I feel like 2 is realistic.
Yeah, I think 2 is a good mark there. I love both those hot takes from Paige, honestly. Let's move on to James Boyd, a hot take. His is a little interesting. He said his sports hot take is bandwagon fans are geniuses. Why be miserable when cheering for a pathetic team when you can just switch teams and be happy? And he says on a more serious note that if you've been a fan of a team and the owner sucks, the team sucks for the X amount of years you've been supporting them, you should be able to switch allegiances without any, you know, anyone bashing you, really.
I mean, it's a good hot take. I mean, we've seen plenty of people who aren't like us, who like the same amount of teams in the same state. I mean, I'm an Illinois guy, you're an Indiana guy. And then we have a guy like Jason Brown who likes teams from all across the country. But I think that just goes to show like how loyal you are to your team. Because like, I'm a White Sox fan. Our owner, Jerry, spies the guy with passion. But I'm not going to leave the White Sox team because I love them so much, compared to, I'm sure, other White Sox fans have already put on their hat and moved on to the Yankees or Dodgers. But that's just a big loyal test. I mean, I'm sure you as a Colts fan are kind of saying the same thing. I mean, you start out the year hot, 7-1 or whatever, and then you go down to losing
what, 8 in a row.
You go 1-7. Yeah. Which is crazy. I'm sure you're like, okay, I need to jump ships, but your loyalty stops you and like, nope, there's hope in the future. Yeah. You saw what the first 8 weeks brought us. Let's see what the next year can have in store.
I think a lot of what can be involved with that hot take too, and a lot of what you just said, is not just the success in staying loyal of your teams being good, but the memories and the memorabilia you have from these teams. You know what I mean? Like, how many memories do I have going to Lucas Oil Stadium and watching a Colts game? Like, that can't be replaceable. How many memories do I have going to Gainbridge and watching a Pacers game? You know, I have a Tyrese Haliburton, a TJ McConnell, a Pascal Siakam jersey. I have a Tyler Warren jersey. Like, that stuff is irreplaceable in my opinion. So I think that's also a huge part with it as well.
I can get down with that. I mean, the Bears have been terrible for years on end since 2018. After 2018 kind of fell off, that's kind of been terrible. And just finally getting to the playoffs the first time, that comeback win against the Packers. At halftime, my mom was trying to talk to me. I wasn't in a good mood. Pretty much, I'll be honest, you know, I snapped at her. She's like, "What is your problem?" And I was like, "Mom, my favorite team is down by 21 points to our biggest rival. Of course, I'm not going to be in a good mood." So that whole second half, I washed it with her. And then when we won, gave her a big old hug and said, "I love you." Went upstairs and celebrated.
Awesome. Yeah. I think James Wade, hot take, I think you countered it well. Do I think it's definitely a hot take. I personally, I don't think I agree with it because I think you have to stay loyal. What do you think, Nicholas?
I think it also depends on what kind of fan they are.
Yeah, right, definitely.
Kind of cut off Nicholas, but Nicholas, got anything to say?
I was going to agree with what you just said. I mean, it kind of depends on the fan that you are.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if the team sucks for 15 years or, you know, whatever, and they're like, I don't know, shit. But if it's all about a loyalty thing also, like you guys said too, you're going to stay loyal to your team and everything like that as well. So, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I think another added to that is what, like you said, what type of fan you are. If you grow up and your family around you, your dad, your grandpa, whoever is a fan of that sports team, it's going to be hard just to throw that out of the window. Just be like, yeah, hey dad, I don't support the Bears anymore because, you know, they're 0-7 this season. They're on pace to go winless. Like, I think that just depends. Our next hot take comes from Aaron McDuffie of the boys Giants basketball team here. Aaron McDuffie says, right now in college basketball, Darius Acuff is the best player.
Ooh,
we're getting into some hot take. I tried to list out these as the more we went down, the more hotter they got.
That is very hot, actually. Just trying to think. I mean, Acuff is great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, led Arkansas to an SEC championship, but no one really thought of them winning it. But I mean, he did just sign a shoe deal with, I don't want to say who, I don't know who it was. So I don't want to say a shoe brand that I'm completely wrong about, but he signed with a brand yesterday. First time an athlete that's in college signed with a shoe brand. So that's insane. Nothing like we've heard. So that's going to open up a door for future college athletes to be having shoe deals. So kind of think the same skill level as Darius Acuff. And I saw the other day, Acuff is reminding me a lot of AI, Allen Iverson, just the way he plays, his swagger. I mean, great player, but I don't think he's the best. I think you have some other guys like DeBanta. I think DeBanta is better. But guard-wise, I would say Acuff is the best. But like overall, I think DeBanta would be better than Acuff.
So you think Acuff is better than Darren Peterson per se? Or is that that's an interesting conversation to have.
I think Acuff is better than Peterson just because of the health aspect. I know people got on to Peterson for skipping out of the games, but the reason he did was because he was having full-on body cramps. So I feel like Acuff, he's not really had those big health issues. He's been a great player for the full game. But people can argue that, okay, when Peterson plays, he's also a really good player. Just fair, but I'm going to take Acuff over Peterson just over the health aspect of Peterson.
Yeah, and that, I feel like people try to add that so much, oh, blah, 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 this doesn't matter, that doesn't matter. But unfortunately, when it does come to a player, whether it's the pros or NBA or whatever, you have to be healthy to be a good player. You know what I mean? You're not going to be good if you're never out on the court. So Aaron McDuffie's hot take, man, that is, I'm going to have to say, invalid just for the reasons that you pretty much said, Ty. I think that if AJ DiBanta was not playing college ball right now, I think that hot take would probably be valid. Not to mention there's the argument for Cam Boozer, like we already talked about, Darren Peterson. I mean, that's the consensus top three, right? It's Boozer, DiBanta, and Peterson. Where does Acuff fall after those? Does someone try to quote unquote reach on him, you think?
I could see it just because this draft class has a lot of good guards from this college season. I mean, you got Peterson, you've got Wagler, and then you got Acuff. Three really good guards and three guards that are really good at making shots around. You have not seen a freshman class like this in ages. And the guards have been phenomenal. The bigs in this class has been outstanding. It would have been nice to see Caleb Wilson kind of build on to why he should be at least a top three pick, but he kind of got his season cut short, unfortunately, for the young kid. I mean, if he was still playing, this freshman class would have been really, really something else.
Yeah, this class is honestly, this draft class is one of the best I think we've had in a pretty long time, to be honest with you. The next hot take comes from Tatum Skabinski, who plays here for the Lady Giants basketball team. She says Stephon Diggs should have never left the Minnesota Vikings.
I don't think he really had a choice. He got traded, but I'll play into it.
I think it's hard. That one's hard because obviously looking at the great career he had in Buffalo, now seeing that he's a free agent now after spending a season with New England, think looking into the future, I think, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, you know, let's play into this, that Stephon Diggs, this was more so free agents-wise, and what would it look like if Stephon was still on the Vikings?
Excuse me. I think he did better in Buffalo than he did in Minnesota. Granted, he's known for big sideline touchdown. He's off to that in Minnesota. But just his career
in Buffalo, he was an absolute beast. And I think that he helped Josh Allen mature faster in his career. Whenever he left, the Bills have been kind of, they haven't gone over the hump. Granted, they didn't get over the hump with Diggs, but like, without Diggs, it's showing that Josh Allen needs a true wide receiver one to reach his full potential. You can't be having Keon Coleman or Cole Beasley be the top guys. I know Cole Beasley's retired. I just brought him up in the conversation because, like, he's kind of been there for a bit. Like, you can't have, like, these wide receiver two, wide receiver three guys being thrown by a great quarterback in Josh Allen.
Yeah, and I think a lot of their plan was that, too. That's why they trade for DJ Moore, try to get that number one guy back. Nicholas, what do you think of this hot take?
That one's a tough one, only because, like Tyler said, him staying in Buffalo, I think, honestly, improved his career more than it was in Minnesota.
It's all just looking into the future there, because if you're in his shoes, and let's say, you know, quote unquote, we're using the hypothetical here, he is a free agent, that, you know, you don't have, I don't think you would have Josh Allen yet. I don't remember what year did Stephon Diggs get traded. Do we know? Do you remember off the top of your head, Ty?
I do not, probably. Well, what year was that? That was the 2017 playoff?
So.
Yeah, because that was the year that Philly went. So 28. Was it the offseason after or was it two after?
I'm not sure, but either way, either it would have been Josh Allen's rookie year or Josh Allen wouldn't have been drafted yet. And when looking at it like that, I mean, how can you tell what you're going to have a good quarterback with? You know what I mean? So,
I mean, he did have Case Keenum.
Yeah, that is very true. That one's interesting. I think for the sake of, like, what we said, looking at the future of his career in Buffalo, I think I'm going to have to disagree with Tatum's hot take. But it's not the worst one. Not the worst one. Finally, we have Sherman Moss's hot take. And I kind of want to ramble on with this one because, boy, oh boy, is this interesting. Tyler, Sherm says that Russell Westbrook is the greatest point guard of all time, even over Steph Curry and Magic Johnson.
I'd say he's probably one of the best finishing point guards of all time, but I don't think he's the best all-around point guard of all time, like Stephen Curry.
I think Russell Westbrook has the best. I mean, okay, I don't know. It's interesting. When you look at this, you say he's the greatest, like Sherm does. I think the only thing, really, that Russell Westbrook had better than Steph Curry, maybe better than Magic Johnson or these other point guards like Chris Paul and Kyrie Irving that compete in that category. I think Russell Westbrook maybe had the greatest 2 to 3 year prime, putting up triple-double MVP candidate numbers. But also, that's hard to say. You look at a guy like Steph Curry, who won the MVP unanimously in 2016. You look at a guy like Magic Johnson, who essentially turned a franchise around in Los Angeles. They were pretty bad before they drafted Magic and kind of changed the direction of where Los Angeles was going. So I think really the only strong argument or a case that you could put into Russell Westbrook being the greatest PG of all time is that he might have had the greatest stretch of a prime, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I mean, he was a monster during that 2-3 year span, like you said, averaging triple doubles as a point guard, which is kind of absurd, especially the way that he kind of did it and just showing his pure dominance on the rim and that he wasn't afraid of who was in the way of it.
Yeah, and with Westbrook, I think, too, you can't be the greatest. We mentioned his prime in that X amount of years. Your prime has to last a long time for you to be a good player, right? I mean, or not meant to be a good player, but to be one of the greatest. We look at Steph Curry. His prime has lasted for a decade plus, right? I mean, even now, obviously I wouldn't say he's in his prime. Obviously, he's not the greatest he's ever been in his career. But Steph Curry is still a solid player, right? And he's still going to go out there. He's gonna give you 30-point games. He's going to give you occasional 40-point games. He's going to rattle in, you know, 5 or 6 three-pointers, you know, once a week. He's still going to give you that attitude, that thing too. But also when we look at Magic and Steph, comparing it to Westbrook, is those two are winners, Tyler. Those two are yeah. Winners. Magic, you know, we know about the Showtime Lakers carrying that dynasty to a bunch of rings. We obviously know about the Steph Curry-led Golden State Warriors in the 2010s with KD and Draymond and Klay winning 4 championships in 7 years, I believe, or something like that. So those two are winners compared to a guy with Russell Westbrook. Granted, I know people left Russell. I know people portrayed him. Obviously, Kevin Durant left OKC to go to Golden State because they lost to the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. We know James Harden signed with the Houston Rockets because he didn't want to be a third option. We know that people have left Russell Westbrook, and he's not had the supporting cast of a lot of these teams like Magic and Steph have had. If Russell Westbrook... Whoops, did not mean to do that, sorry. If Russell Westbrook has a couple of rings, or maybe even just a ring, whether that was with his time with KD and Harden, just his time with KD, or his time past that, how do you think that adds to the hot take if he has a ring or two?
Probably be more close of an argument than it is right now. It would really depend on who he won that ring with. I mean, if he would have won it with Steven Adams, that would have been, and Serge Ibaka, then yeah. I mean, that would have been worthy, because Steph, I mean, he had Thompson, Draymond, and KD to win a ring with. But also, I look back at the 21 season where Curry got hurt and the Warriors kind of fell off. And people are like, okay, is this the end of the Golden State Warriors? And then the next year, the Golden State Warriors beat the Boston Celtics in the 2022 NBA Finals. I mean, Curry just shows no quit. Even if there's a minor setback in his career, he's going to fight. And Curry's squad with that championship was Jordan Poole, who was a dog at the time, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kevon Looney, Jonathan Kuminga. It's not that big of a, or it's not a better team than what Curry had won with where he had KD. This team was significantly worse. And the fact that Curry won with that team against the Boston Celtics team, which was really good at the time with Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Tatum, I believe Robert Williams on that team. I mean, that was a great championship win by the Warriors to knock off the Celtics.
Indeed. Nicholas, what do you think about this? Does Sherm have a point in this hot take, or do you think that this one's kind of a little on the too hot, on the burning side, per se?
I think it's a bit on the burning side only because, like you guys said, he was only good for a couple years in his prime and probably hasn't done much.
You have to extend that longevity. I mean, you're right. He can still give you triple-double, don't get me wrong, but he's not dropping 30 pieces like he used to. He's not dropping 40 pieces. You know, right now, he's on the worst team. Well, I shouldn't say the worst. Record-wise, he's on the second or third worst team in the NBA, the Sacramento Kings. So I think that one's definitely interesting. I think I'm going to have to disagree with Sherm's hot take, though. That'll do it pretty much for all our players or media personality, and obviously Tyler, your hot take was an NHL playoffs. Finally, my hot take. I've been trying to think about it, and I was wondering if it was really a hot take, but I think it is. Because the more and more I scroll, the more and more I ask, people disagree with me. And my hot take is that the Indiana Pacers would be the NBA champions right now if Tyrese Haliburton does not tear his Achilles in Game 7. And I say that's a hot take because everyone I've asked has said OKC wins that game no matter what. Tyler, what do you think of that?
I mean, did they not watch the first 7 minutes?
That's what I was saying.
Haliburton was literally lethal from beyond the arc. I mean, it looked like that this guy was determined to bring Indiana a championship. Unfortunately, it happened. I mean, being a Bulls fan, and I'll be honest, last year, I was a proud Pacers hater. But after the Pacers proved me wrong in the playoffs, I texted Bryson Hill, and I was like, you know what? I'm tired of hate on this team is something special. Bryson can vouch for that. And I went to the watch party for Game 7 in Cambridge. And just the way Haliburton saw off that game and then going down Cambridge Fieldhouse literally went silent. You could hear a pin drop because Pacer fans knew that their one shot to win it is gone just like that. And TJ McConnell did a fantastic job. I'll give him his flowers. I mean, he was the only Pacer scorer for, 5-10 minutes of that game? I mean, he really wanted to bring in the championship even after losing Haliburton. But after the Haliburton injury, Pacer fans knew that, okay, this might be it.
How – I know you have been in some pretty good arenas. You've been in some pretty good environments. Where does a pregame environment and a environment in general at the tip – where does that rank into your all-time, really, at that watch party in Game 7? Could you really feel the buzz?
I could feel the buzz when I walked in, whenever I hear, Cindy. Like, it was just a call and response. And, I mean, it was just, the city was alive at that time. Granted, I've not been to many playoff games in my life because none of my teams have really made it to the playoffs. But that was probably the most electric atmosphere I have been a part of. I've been a part of some great hockey atmospheres. I mean, the Blackhawks, I went to their Chris Chelios jersey retirement. That was also the night that Patrick Kane returned back to the United Center. So that was a great night. Chicago loves their sports teams. I love the players who put their heart and soul into that team. I mean, Jonathan Toews, he came back recently to the United Center. He plays for the Jets. I mean, he had a curtain call. And if you know what a curtain call is, that's wherever, like, they get their video on the board, like, saying, welcome back, blah, blah, blah. And then in hockey, they get on the ice and they take a few laps just by themselves. Blackhawks fans, they sit on their feet for the full minute or full 4 minutes, cheering, clapping. Toews did a whole lap around the ice. He went back to his bench. Blackhawks fans still cheering, and Toews like, all right, enough. He did one more lap. So completely went off topic there, but like just comparing a Pacer playoff environment to a neutral Blackhawks game, Pacers was definitely up there for one of the best atmospheres I've been a part of.
And I think to go back to my hot take, I think what a lot of people forget too is the Pacers had the lead at halftime, right? I mean, they had a 2-point lead. They were fired up, and I think, honestly, there's still a chance to win that game, even with Halley going down. I just wish the one thing that he didn't... I don't know if you've had the chance to watch the Starting Five documentary yet, but he says it in the documentary, too. I wish the one thing he would have done was not stay in the doctor's room. And I get it, first thought... Or the trainer's room, I should say. I get it, first thought... You just want to be left alone, right? You tear your Achilles in Game 7. You don't want anyone to talk to you. You don't want to go out there and give a big message. But I think even if Ty could have came out at halftime or one of the quarters and tried to sit on the bench and encourage his team or give them a little halftime speech, you know, telling them that he's okay, fight for the state, fight for the city, You know what I mean? I think that, because you could tell, not only like you said, Tyler, you said Gainbridge went silent during the watch party. I think it also obviously it affected the players a lot. We saw Obi Toppin really couldn't do anything after he tore his Achilles.
Yeah, no, I mean, the cameras showed that Pacers team, like, they were all defeated after they saw he went down. So what Halpern said, yeah, I mean, that could have been a huge, huge difference maker for the team on the court.
Well, with that being said, we are almost out of time here on Hash Marks and Hardwood. Nicholas, any last thoughts for us on this Wednesday / Friday? I know you'll be taking it live on Friday, so but any last thoughts before we send it off to Nicholas live in the studio?
I do agree with your hot take on it.
Thank you.
To be fair. So I do think Pacers would have won that.
To be fair, I think that's only a hot take because there's Pacers haters.
And yeah.
But with that being said, whether it sends back live to you or whether you send me to a song on the studio, whatever the case may be. Thank you for listening to another episode of Hash Marks and Hardwood. We are showless for the next 2 weeks with spring break going on. So again, no shows in the next 2 weeks. Bryson Hill alongside Nicholas Mountcastle, our guests today for this Hot Takes episode, Tyler Stout. Tyler, for those of people that don't know you listening to Hash Marks and Hardwood right now, where can everyone find you, man?
Like my social,
yeah,
like
social media wise on X, wherever they want to reach out to you on, maybe.
Instagram and Instagram is tstout__20, and then my X is stout_tyler20. Really, like the main socials I use, media wise. But you can find me there. It's gonna be studying at IU, hopefully, or not hopefully, for the next 4 years in sports media. So that's exciting. Huge congratulations to the one only Bryson Hill for being an honorable mention in play-by-play in the IASB contest. If it wasn't me, I'm glad it was you that got up there. At least one of us got our name called for that. I mean, that's a very competitive field.
Yeah, thank you. And hey, we got the Pike honorable mention as well, brother. So we got that absolutely as well. That was a great game. But Tyler, thanks for joining us, man. Maybe I can have you on in a couple of months or so, maybe back on in May if you would like to, and enjoy your spring break, man.
Thanks, Preston. You too.
Take care. And that will do it for Hash Marks and Hardwood. We'll see y'all in 2 weeks on Friday, 9:15 to 9:55. Have a blessed day, everyone.